It's my distinct pleasure to welcome Lenny Wilkins to the program. Lenny, thank you very much for doing this today. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me. Everything is going well here.
Well, I'm glad. And where is here? Where are you these days?
I'm in the Seattle area. This is where we made our home. Our kids grew up here, and my wife liked it. She likes the Northwest. And then, like you said, on days like today, it's a big reason why we're still here.
So let's talk about, right off the top, since you brought up Seattle, I'm friends with Tim Leiwicki, who's redoing the Key Arena. They've got a hockey team already. I know Bruckheimer from living in L.A. for 20 years and playing hockey with them, and they're going to have their NHL team, whatever it's going to be named. But you got to figure the Seattle Supersonics may make a return at some point. And I know we're waiting for sports in general to come back, Lenny, but you played there. You live there. You're a big part of the city or a big part of the culture there. What are your thoughts on Seattle getting an NBA team again?
Well, you know, I feel real good because the Leiwickis are involved and they're great people. And, you know, they're redoing Key Arena. It's going to be very classy and certainly they'll have hockey there first. But basketball is, you know, a part of the fabric of the Northwest of the Seattle area. They have a legacy. We won a championship here. And the fans still, I see fans wearing the green and gold. And whenever I go anywhere, I get stopped and asked all the time, when are we getting a team back? But I would say that when the arena is completed, and of course, you know, hockey will be there. But shortly after that, I would think that this would be the city everybody would want. We're the gateway to Asia, so and basketball is huge around the world today. So I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed, that when the arena is finished, shortly after that, we'll get basketball.
Well, look, anybody more qualified than you to make those comments doesn't exist, because you won the championship there, you played there, you coached there. It is a massive part of the fabric, and having the Leiwickis involved, we know that Tim and Todd will get the arena done. They've already got the NHL team, and Tim is one of the most connected guys in sports. He did a great job here in Toronto with helping to construct the BMO Field and the Raptors, and of course you coached here as well. But let's talk about the Dream Team and The Last Dance, which has been airing the last several weeks and has gotten a ton of attention. Not that it wouldn't have already, because of Michael Jordan's stature and who he is and what a legend he is and his accomplishments on the court, and specifically that last season, which it was one of those seasons that you can't believe that a general manager would tell a coach, no matter what happens, this is going to be your last season as a coach. But it indeed happened. What is your recollection of that time in the NBA? You coached against Jordan in the NBA. You coached him on the Dream Team in 92. But first, let's talk about coaching against Michael Jordan and your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, Michael was a great player. And he was a guy who was very determined. He had tremendous mental toughness. And that when he prepared for a game, he wanted to come out and wanted to do everything he could to help his team win. And there were a lot of guys like that, although they didn't have the success that he had. But they had the notoriety or the talent. You know, I played against guys like Jerry West, Oscar Robertson. You know, those guys had that same kind of mental toughness, that kind of talent. But Michael was kind of special in that he competed. He made his teammates better. You know, he kind of shied away from the limelight a little bit until the end of his career. But he was a guy that you knew that was going to give it his all in the game. So you prepared for that team and for him.
Did you get the chance to see any of the Last Dance episodes?
I've seen a little bit of it, but, you know, I know it so well. I mean,
yeah.
It was during my era. I played, I coached on the Olympic team. I was assistant coach to the Dream Team 10. I was the head coach in 96, and in 92, I was the assistant coach to Chuck Daly. But certainly, no, I I used to do Michael's fantasy camps. I was one of the coaches that worked there, so I know him very well.
Yes, and you were one of the assistants, as you said. Chuck Daly was that coach, and Coach K from Duke and PJ Carlissimo were the other assistants. Talk about that team and the dominance of that team and the personalities of that team before we get into a couple of other questions. What was it like to coach that team, to be involved in the Dream Team?
Well, it was fun. It was fun because I knew these guys. I had coached some of them in all-star games, you know, and like you said, I coached against them. But the Dream Team was special. And the one thing was that at that time, you know, FIBA, everybody was talking about that. The Europeans had caught up. Asia, everybody had caught up to U.S. basketball. And our guys took a little affront to that, and they wanted to show the world that they were the best. And they challenged one another to be good every time we stepped on the floor. And I have to, you know, comment that some of our practices were better than some of the games we played. But everybody participated. Every guy on the team wanted to show the world how good our basketball was here. And they went out and did it night in and night out.
So you talk about the practices, and that's one of the things, if you watch The Last Dance, they talk about. There was one famous practice where they went at it particularly hard. And then when everybody got back on the bus, there wasn't a word said until one of the players made a comment and everybody started laughing. Do you remember that specific practice where it seemed like it was they were playing for the NBA title?
Oh yeah, no question about it. We were actually, what happened was that we had given the players off a week after the Tournament of Americas. And we said we'd meet at the airport in New York and we're going to fly to Nice. And so Chuck was a little dubious about giving them that much time off. He was afraid that they would have their minds on other things and wouldn't come ready. And so when we got to Nice, the day we were going to have that practice, he was really concerned because the practice started out a little bit slow. I mean, nobody seemed to be into it that much. And Chuck got very nervous, and he was always that way, you know. And so he kept saying to me, "We're going to lose, we're going to lose, we're going to lose," you know. And so I said, "Coach, we're going to be okay, you know." And so I went over to Magic, and I said to Magic, "Hey, we got to up the tempo a little bit in practice because Coach is worried. I mean, you know, and he's not comfortable with the way practice is going and everything." So Magic said, "I'll take care of it, Coach." And so he talked to his team because his team was getting killed by his team was killing Michael's team, so to speak. And so all of a sudden they started talking, trash talking, and that got Michael's attention. And all of a sudden the practice went to a high intensity. And I mean, guys were going at it. I mean, it was unbelievable. And all of a sudden now Coach Daly wants to stop practice because he's afraid somebody's going to get hurt. And we just, you know, we got to laugh but we got to the level that he wanted, that he was comfortable with. And then we stopped it because Coach, like I said, was afraid somebody would get hurt.
Who was the best trash talker on that team?
Well, they all did, but probably Barkley. You know, Barkley always had a comment about everything. But then Karl Malone was not going to take a back seat to him. And, you know, so guys started to talk. But I would say that Charles was probably the guy that, you know, he was going to get in your face and everything. But he was a great player.
Lenny Wilkins is our guest here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's Joey Vendetta, the Joey Vendetta Show here. Lenny, thank you again for doing this. It's great. And I have to ask you, we talk about the Dream Team, and it's in The Last Dance. Isaiah Thomas, who's been called one of the greatest guards of all time, one of the top two guards of all time by numerous people, was not included on that team. What light can you shed on what was going on at that time and why Isaiah may not have been included?
Well, first of all, you know, there's a lot of great players in every era. And when you say top two, yeah, Isaiah certainly was one of the top guards. But over the history of the game, I mean, you know, there were guys, like I said, Jerry West. You know, there was Oscar Robertson. There was Walt Frazier. I mean, I could go to every era, you know, Bob Cousy. You know, every era had great guards. And he was one of them. But as to why he wasn't selected, the Olympic Committee is the one who selected the team, selected the players.
Ah.
So why, you know, there's only so many spots. And Magic Johnson certainly was deserving, as well as a lot of guys. And so I don't know. There was always the talk that Michael didn't want him on the team. Now, there was no love lost between him and Michael, but Michael never came out and said, "I don't want him on the team," not to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. So turning to your career, you talk about the different eras in the NBA. And when you retired, you had the record for the most coaching wins in NBA history with 1,332. And you're a guy who has coached, you played throughout different eras and coached throughout different eras. Discuss that and how the game has changed to what we see now, where basketball now is nothing, I won't say nothing like, but when you played, it was much different. How much more physical was it then, or do you think it's a different kind of physicality now?
Well, I think the game definitely was more physical back then because they would allow guys to put their hands on you. And some of these guys were very strong. They put their hand on you. They would steer you to where they wanted to go. But the game certainly, the commissioner didn't want the game to get totally physical. And so they stopped a lot of it, you know, and it changed. But also, remember this, is that players started to come out of college after 1 year. They started to apply to the NBA right after high school. So the experience factor dropped way down. And I saw this as a player coach. And so what I in 1975, I stopped playing because I knew I could play another year or two, but coaching is where I wanted to go. And I was now spending more time helping young players learn the game. And I had young players like Lionel Hollins, Bobby Gross with the Trailblazers. And I wanted to spend more time helping them to learn the game, to teach the game. And I couldn't do both. I couldn't do a great service to my game if I was going to be out there playing too. So I retired and went to full-time coaching. But like I said, we have great, great talent coming in, but they do not have the NBA experience that guys had many years ago.
So your career has spanned decades, and you've coached in a bunch of different cities, and you coached in Toronto. We saw the Raptors win the championship last season. You were here in the 2000s, early 2000s, and you had Vince Carter. Let's go back to that era and coaching in Toronto then, and Vince Carter. Knowing what you know now about the Raptors and the city of Toronto and how we've seen that unfold, and we know that Vince kind of left acrimoniously, and there was the graduation thing. You were there for that, the graduation thing and the missed shot. And talk about Vince Carter and his legacy and his impact then and what you think it is now.
Well, Vince was a great player. No question. He was very, very talented. And I was when I came there, the fans were really starting to get into the game. They were learning the game as well, and they were very supportive. They supported the Raptors like all great cities would, and certainly Vince Carter was a part of that. Certainly when he went to graduation. I didn't know that he was going to be going. I didn't find out until the day before. And we're in the midst of the playoffs, and we got a big game coming up. We're going to be flying. I think it was to Philadelphia. I'd have to go back and look. But the front office, unbeknownst to me, I found out the day before, like I said, that they had made their plane available for him to go to graduation. Well, you could have graduated any time. Here's a chance to win a championship, as far as I was concerned. And so I was unhappy about it. I talked to Vince, but I knew that his mind was set. He wanted to be there. And the ownership and the general manager gave him permission. So he went. And he got in time for our shoot-around the day of the game. But, you know, it's no matter what you say, if you're your class is graduating and you're there with them that night and everything, I doubt very much that you're going to be in bed early. I don't buy that. He played decent, but he didn't play like he always played. I mean, this guy has so much talent. It was unbelievable. And yeah, okay, anybody can miss a shot. We missed a shot. We lost the game. But I was just a little disappointed because I felt like had we all gone down at the same time and had our rest and been there, maybe we would have won that game. So, was something that I think you only get so many opportunities to win a championship, and I thought that was one that we lost.
Lenny, before I let you go, and again, thank you very much for doing this, the Raptors won the championship this past year. Masai made a bold move in getting Kawhi Leonard. He went all in, and it paid off, and Kawhi came here, did what he needed to do to get back to the top of the NBA as a player, and he won the most valuable player. What was your take on the Raptors, the team last year, and also quickly the job that Nick Nurse has done this year with a ton of injuries and without that quote-unquote superstar?
Well, I was rooting for them when they were playing for the championship. I mean, I watched all the games and I talked with some of the players because I knew a couple of the assistants. I had seen them in Vegas when we were down there for the summer league. But I was one of the ones rooting for them. I was happy when they won it. I thought Toronto deserved it. The fans were terrific, and the players played well. You know, the players played well. And, I think Nick Nurse has done an outstanding job. And you're right. And when you have injuries, you have to deal with it. You have to overcome them. And he kept his team competitive. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that we're experiencing this pandemic that we are, because it took away a lot of from all sports. No one can be playing right now. But they deserve to win the championship. They played great. And Kawhi Leonard was a big factor in that. I know he left because he wanted to go back home. But head of the team, and I think they would have been as they got healthy and if the season had been able to continue.
Lenny, we greatly appreciate your time. You're fantastic. You're a legend. And for a guy who learned his basketball on the playgrounds of Brooklyn and brought it to the world, we thank you very much. And once again, a pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. And you guys stay safe, okay?